like to do a scriptural affirmation. It allows us to stand and honor God as we read His Word and portions of His Word. And I have found that I'm standing in the way of people seeing. So I'm going to move off to the side. But we want to read the Word together. And I'll read the first, and then you follow, and then we go back and forth. The scriptural affirmation comes from Job 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said,
I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee.
Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not.
Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will command of thee, and declare thou unto me.
I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee.
Wherefore I humble myself, and repent unto thy statutes.
And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said unto Eliphaz the Temanite, therefore, take unto you now 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. So Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamanite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him. Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you this morning, knowing that you are truly in control. Now we ask that you would adjust our thinking, adjust our attitude, adjust our heart, that we might be in line with you so that we can experience the very presence of the living God, that we might experience the joy of the Lord, that we might have a peace that for some might pass all understanding. Today, we surrender ourselves to you, Lord, and say, you are welcome in this place. Have your way. We glorify your name. We praise you. We worship you. We thank you. You are good. You are good, Lord. Amen. You're so good. Thank you. May we have hearts of gratitude and minds that expect you to do great things. It's in Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen. You may be seated. The presence of the living God. When we think about that and we're inviting him in and we're doing all of those things, we need not to forget a very important point. We are in him and he is in us. His presence is here today. What we're asking, so that we get this theologically correct, is we are asking for him to reveal himself to us, that we are aware that he is with us, that he is everywhere. Our God is here this day, and I want him to reveal himself in such a wondrous way that we experience his wondrous glory. I want to be like Moses, who was being hidden in the cleft of the rock as his glory goes by. I want to be like Abraham as he walks through the sacrifice. I want to be like Jesus, who said he is, I always do what my Father would have me do, what I see the Father doing. We must realize he wants us to live in his presence. Do you live in his presence this day? Do you have a right attitude about what's going on around us? Do you have a right attitude about what's happening in your life? Do you have a right attitude about the circumstantial stuff that we all must go through? Do you have a right attitude? Because if you have a right attitude, you become aware of the fact that he won't leave you. He won't forsake you. That's if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You need to, now listen, there's a starting point. There's a starting point for all this. You have to know him. You want to be one that has confessed with his mouth and believed in his heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and Jesus has promised that you will be inhabited by the Spirit of the living God. You will be changed. You will be made different, and he will keep changing you from glory to glory to glory. He will keep changing you and changing you, and in that you will then recognize something, that he is with you. Is he with you today? See, that's our starting point. I know that's supposed to be the end, you know, but I need you to start with me, because we're going somewhere. I need you to start with me today, because we want to worship him. I need you to start with him because we want to praise him. And it's hard to praise somebody you don't know. Yeah. You ever go to a concert or something, and everybody's all excited about somebody that you don't know anything about? But by the end of the concert, after you've experienced that person's presence, after you've experienced that person's whatever they do, you go, whoa, I'm excited too. Whoa. And see, I want you to be excited. I want you to experience him now so we can be excited together. I want you to be excited about the fact that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I want you to be excited because there's none other like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is worthy of all glory. He's worthy of all honor. He's worthy of all praise. And you and I have been created for his pleasure. So let it be determined in our hearts today that we will give him pleasure. Oh, he's good. Amen. He's good. But we have to have the right attitude. And sometimes, even those of us who say that they're trying to live in accordance with the will of God, they're trying to do everything that they know to do to be the person that they're supposed to be. Even those that say that, sometimes we need an attitude adjustment. Sometimes we've got stinking thinking. Sometimes we're not right, not as bright as we think. And Job was a fascinating character. This book of Job is one that is just so interesting to me. It's interesting because you have to think clearly to grasp it. You've got to pay attention to all kinds of little stuff in there to be able to hear what God is saying. But God is speaking to us. And I really think he's speaking to us that are in the church that kind of think we're something, that kind of think we got it. He's speaking to us in a very real way. Job, there he was, a righteous man, and this time when the sons of God were parading themselves before God in heaven, Satan is strolling around in heaven, and God says to Satan, "Have you considered my son Job? My servant Job," as a matter of fact, that's what he says. And he says, "Yeah, I thought about him, but if you will just remove all of his blessing, if you will just remove all of his stuff, he'll curse you to your face. He's not so special." And so God says, do with his stuff what you want. Just don't harm him. Just don't hurt him. So he takes his crops, takes his sheep and cattle. And this one, it shakes me. Because he took his children, his three daughters, the seven sons. He had the perfect family. He took that. Job has no idea what's going on here. He has no idea why this stuff is happening to him. He has no idea what's happening and that this would be what would go on in his life. He's done nothing wrong. There is nothing that he is aware of that he has done wrong. But then, praise God, Job had friends. Good friends. They really were good friends. But as you have learned, good friends can screw up too. Good friends can mess up too. At first, they were wonderful. They came and sat with him and said, "Job, oh." No, actually, they did the best thing. They said nothing. He just sat with them and mourned. We've got to learn to mourn with those who mourn. We've got to learn to celebrate with those who celebrate. We've got to learn to kind of just mirror back what's going on in a person's life and let them lead in this process. But then they began to speak. And they were saying, "You know, Job, everything will just be okay if you would just confess your sin." And Job's going, "Whoa, wait a minute, I haven't sinned. I haven't done anything wrong. Not that I'm aware of. In fact, I think I want to talk to God about this thing. I want to see him face to face. I want to talk to God about this thing. And because I haven't done anything wrong. And if it's like you're telling me, my friends are telling me that, well, you only go through this stuff as the result of your sin. If that's the case, I need him to talk to me and tell me face to face what I've done. I need a chance. I need an advocate. I need an opportunity to share." And they go back and forth and they go back and forth. And there's 40 chapters and I won't try to preach them all. But there's a a point where we get to the 42nd chapter. So he's had his three friends chastising him. He's had this kid that in the end the Bible just ignores him at the end of this process. It's really funny. So join with me as I look in chapter 42 of Job, final chapter of that book, and we'll talk through some of this. Dear Father, in the name of Jesus, we need you. We need you to help us to understand, help us to grasp this truth. We need you. We need you to work in our lives in a real way so that we get it. We need you. We need you to help us to have an attitude adjustment so that we might serve you in a way that glorifies your name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So God has asked Job a series of questions, seeing if Job is able to keep himself, save himself. So in verse 42, chapter 42, verse 1, he says, "Then Job answered the Lord and said," after hearing all of this, Job confesses something. "I know that thou can do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee." What he is saying is, I know that you know it all. I know that you are absolutely sovereign. I know that you are in charge of everything. I know that you are God and there's none other like you. I know. After listening for just a few moments, I recognize that I can't understand everything. See, that is a big confession. That's a big thing, because we like to be able to understand stuff. Now, maybe you guys aren't like me, but I like to be able to read something and study it until I know that I've got it down. And I've got all the possible answers, and I've got it all right, and I am, you know, so tight I squeak. I just want to get it right. I really do. And that's the what is being said here is, I know that you know it all, Father. But maybe what you don't hear in this verse is, and I know I don't. I know I don't understand all of the stuff. I don't know how the way of a woman having a baby. I don't know what Teresa's going through right now. I don't know why the rains come and do what they do when people are doing what it looks like the right thing. I don't know why some places, as much rain as we've had, there are places in the world that are so dry and they're dying for water and they're not getting it. I don't know why that happens to them. I don't know why good people die and bad people seem to prosper. I don't know all of this stuff, and I don't get it, and it just doesn't seem fair to me sometimes. I don't know what it is, but when I really stop and consider all of this, I recognize this, that you are good. There's no one else like you, Father. There's no one else like you, and I thank you that you are God, because I know that I am not. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Sometimes we just say the stupidest stuff. We say stuff that we think we know. We think we've got it, you know? Well, they wouldn't have got an STD if they hadn't been doing that thing. Well, you know, I could go on about that, but I don't need to be funny. I want you to hear what the Word of God is saying. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. Today, will you admit that you have said some things that you thought you understood that you did not? Will you admit that you haven't had the right idea about stuff all the time? Will you admit that your judgment on some things has been wrong? Sometimes my judgment has been wrong. We've hurt each other because we view things and make a judgment on it. And we say that's what God is doing. And God's saying, what? You think that's the reason that happened? Who are you to make that judgment? Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered that I understood not. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. They were just so awesome. The stuff that God does is just so awesome and so amazing, and we can't always get it. When will that be okay with you? When will it be okay for God to be God and you not to be God? When will it be okay that God can do what he wants to do, when he wants to do, how he wants to do, because he is God? When will it be okay that you be who you are and being changed to what he wants you to be? When will that be okay with you? Do you need an attitude adjustment? I need an attitude adjustment. You know, I think there's a ton of depression in people today. Just a lot of depression. Because what happens is they can't even live up to what they believe they should be. You ever recognize that okay, this is how I think I should be. And this is how I am. And I don't know how to close the gulf between those two. I don't know how to close the gulf to fix it. I don't know how to make myself all that I should be. I see what the Word of God says, and I want to be that. But I find myself worrying when the Word of God tells me I should be rejoicing. I find myself hating when God says I should be loving. I find myself weak in a place that I should be strong. I find myself in situations that, why am I here? Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Oh, I'd made so many declarations about other people's sins. And I still feel like I'm stuck in the muck and mire. I'm still stuck in the mess. I feel like I'm trudging uphill in peanut butter, and I just, and the hill just keeps growing and growing and growing, and I just can't seem to get there. He says to God, well, God says to him, here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. Can you fix God? He must have some flaws because he hasn't done everything the way that you wanted him to. Can you fix God? Can you help God get it right this time? Can you help God do it in a way that's a little bit better for the situation as you see it? Can you fix God? I mean, maybe you serve a God that needs fixing. Maybe you serve a God that hasn't satisfied your desire. And of course, your desire is pure, right? your desire is right. I mean, he gave you that desire, didn't he? Can you fix God? Verse 5, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Oh my goodness, I've recognized that you are God, Father in heaven. I recognize that you know everything and what should be and what shouldn't be. I recognize that the stuff that's happening around me, you are sovereign over, and that none of this is slipping by you. And the pain that I feel, I don't seem to understand why it has to be painful, but you do. I recognize, I have heard about you. You know, I've been in church and I've sat there where they talk about God as being so good, so wonderful, so lovely, so all of these things. And I've seen all of this stuff, but now when I'm with you, because God is present here. Didn't we just sing that? Did we believe that? We were asking for him to be here. Do you think that he wouldn't want to be with you? Do you think that he didn't want to be with you? He's here. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. Isn't he an honest God? He's here with us. We can experience his glory today if we just acknowledge him and he would reveal himself to us in a real way. He's here today. Don't you recognize he's here so we can trust him? He's here in the midst of our circumstance. He's here in the midst of our pain. He's here in our hurt. He's here when we're confused. He's here. He's here. He's with us this day. Let's celebrate his goodness. Because he's worthy of all that celebration. Even when it's tough. I know I can be kind of weird sometimes. I went to a revival at a neighboring church over in Troy. And we were there. Some of the people here were there. And it started to thunder. That might have been a good signal for us to go from under the tent and inside. It might have been, but you know, we were being faithful because how would God allow his people to be affected by that? We can be okay. And then it started to rain. I said, oh, well, it's raining real hard, but that's okay because it's coming straight down. It was okay. God's just showing that he's pouring out all around us, but he's keeping his people. Hey, praise God. Let's just worship him. Yeah, yeah. And you know what? We can have peace in the midst of the storm. And then whoosh. And some very valuable things fell down. Steve, I do love you, really. Whatever it costs, man, I'll fix. But you see what I mean? We think we're in control. You see what I mean? Even as I'm attempting to show that we are not in control, that God is sovereign, even in the midst of that, I can't get it right. We can't get it right. He is God. Do I trust him? Do I trust him now? Will I allow that fear? Will I now be too fearful to stand anywhere near Steve again? The tent came down, by the way. Three people went to the hospital. But God was glorified anyway. You see, we could spend all of our time talking about how the Satan got the victory. And that would be a lie. Because we serve a sovereign God who knew before the foundation of the world who we are and whose we are. We trust him in the midst of it all. Well, when Job really thought this through and God spoke to him, he said, I abhor myself. I recognize I'm nothing. I'm a mess. And so, I repent in trusting in myself. I repent in trusting in my own goodness. I repent in questioning the goodness of God in the midst of this. I repent. I believe it's actually okay to ask God questions. But to question his attributes, to question his goodness, to question whether he's everywhere all the time, that he's all powerful, that's wrong. I repent that my attitude had slipped, and those that don't agree with me, I have slandered. Well, they just don't know some things. I repent. It breaks my heart that I could be in that place. I repent. Do you repent of your attitude today? Depending on yourself, thinking you have it all together. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right as my servant Job hath. You see, as you are trying to do the right thing, God recognizes that. And he has made us kings and priests. We are here to stand before God on behalf of the people and before the people on behalf of God and to make disciples that make disciples that make disciples. We are here to spread the light of Christ throughout the whole earth. To let our light so shine among men that they see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. We are here to be his, not to reflect our own opinions, but to give our opinions completely over to him so that he might speak through us, so that we speak as oracles of God and lives are changed and made different because they've come in contact with the living God. God, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Change the atmosphere. And as the atmosphere in your soul, in your heart is changed, it'll be reflected all around you. You'll see life different. Job was able to see life differently. And you know when he was really able to see it? When he was ministering to his friends. He said, therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams and go to my servant Job, offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job will pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly and that ye have not spoken to me the thing which is right, like my servant Job, we need to be out ministering. People are going to come to us wanting to know, who is this God we know? And so Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. Listen, if somebody wants to talk to you about God, you know that's God asking you to be a witness right then and there. The Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much. Be careful. Don't see, I do this and the Lord owes me twice as much. Don't go there. Just drop that concept. But God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you, and he blesses obedience. He blesses your obedience. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, in all of your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Today, maybe you feel like you need an attitude adjustment. You need to think of this thing differently than you've been thinking. You need to think of God differently than you've been thinking. You need to know him in a deeper, fuller way. If that's the case for you, would you bow your head with me now? Dear Father, you might want to pray this prayer. Dear Father, I surrender. I believe, and I say it, that Jesus Christ is both my Savior and Lord. And I now want you to live through me. I surrender myself as much as I know how right now. Fully. I believe that you, who has begun a good work in me, will continue to do it. We thank you, Lord, for changing me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The altar is open to you today. You may come as Steve plays. Love to talk to you. If you need to understand or you want to grow more, God is doing great stuff. Let's trust him.